Finding Our Way is proudly sponsored by Berghaus, a team of people united by their passion for the outdoors and who are working hard to create more diversity in the sports we love. For more detailed information, go and have a look at the episode description. I'm Marianne O'Hotter and welcome to Finding Our Way, the podcast from the British Mountaineering Council, aka the BMC. It's all about diversifying the voices we normally hear talking about the outdoors. So in each episode, we talk to people who are usually busy climbing, mountaineering or walking, and we find out from them what they've learned from their adventures and perhaps what the rest of us might learn from them as well. So think good chat, memorable stories and hopefully some insight and inspiration from people who are making real change happen. Okay, so joining us today is a long distance walker who is co-founder of Everybody Outdoors, a movement fighting for better representation, clothing and gear for larger and plus-sized bodies in the UK outdoors. So for some of us, this is going to be a welcome and long overdue clarion call, demanding a shake-up of sizist attitudes in the outdoors. But for some of us, this might be an issue that's new. Think about it, though. When was the last time you saw a plus-sized person featured in an outdoors magazine or social media feed? If you wear a size 24, where would you go to get technical clothing that can deal with a full day in the Scottish hills? Our guest is getting to the heart of bodies in the outdoors. So connecting with us from Bristol, welcome Steph Weatherall. Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I'm very excited to talk to you about this. I think let's start off with, Steph, how you got into hill walking and hiking.
I guess I'd always kind of done a bit of ambling in the countryside, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago. I was living in Canada at the time, and my friend Rosemary took me on my first big hike up into the Valhalla Mountains, and I genuinely didn't really realise I could do it. I thought, because I never saw bodies like mine represented in the outdoors, that things like climbing a mountain were just not something I could do. But she was one of my good friends, and she took me on a walk that she'd already done, so she was able to kind of explain to me what it was going to involve. She lent me all the kit I needed, like her partner's rucksack, and we went, and it was a kind of overnight trip. We hiked up to a place called Gwillim Lakes and camped there overnight, and I just fell in love with it. So when I came back to the UK, my sister subscribed to Country Walking magazine, and so she cut out all the walks in the southwest for me, and I just started going off on my own and following the routes and just kind of getting the confidence and realizing that I could do it, and just kind of building up my walking fitness from there.
So you described this kind of not being sure of whether you could or couldn't do it. How much do you think that was sort of external societal pressure, that idea of, you know, I don't see anyone else who looks like me doing this? Or how much was it a sort of an internal voice?
Mostly the former, I'd say. I think a huge amount of it was this, that, you know, you open an outdoors magazine and there's nobody who looks remotely like me in them. And I think I just thought that there was no way a body like mine could do it. You know, this is before I got on, I guess before I got on Instagram, before I started finding people like Unlikely Hikers in America and Jenny Brusso, who've been really kind of showcasing a lot of this. You know, before that, my intake was just a fairly kind of standard outdoors media. And there probably was a little bit of self-doubt in my mind, but, you know, at that point I was working as a farmer. I was quite physically fit, even though I was, you know, I was at that point probably a size 18. But I didn't know anybody who did it either. Mm. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of plus size people, that's a real barrier. It's like, how do you get started? You know, maybe you've got an interest in it, but what's that first step? For a lot of people going along to a standard walking group, there's a massive barrier there, because, you know, what if they're the slowest person? What if they can't do it? What if people look at them? What if they don't have the right clothing and kit? There's a lot of challenges around that.
I mean, that gets us to that idea, isn't it? That I think in the outdoors, on Finding Our Way, we talk a lot about some aspects of diversity or lack of diversity in the outdoors, whether that's representation or participation. things like ethnicity, gender, disability, perhaps. But some people won't have thought of size, body size. Is it really that divisive, that prejudiced, that unwelcoming?
Yes. I mean, imagine going into a shop and not one single thing in that shop will fit you, like an outdoor shop. So I can go into like a huge amount of the major outdoors brand shops and there's not a single thing that'll fit me. Like last year, I almost had an anxiety attack in a shop in the Lake District when I walked in just trying to find one thing in my size. And I'm currently a size 20, which is not, you know, not particularly large in the plus size spectrum. I found two things in a 3-floor shop that were, wow, in my size. And I mean, that's a great way to make you feel unwelcome in the outdoors, is just to not make clothing in your size. And then the clothing that is available does not fit. So instead, you end up having to go to the men's section, which is pretty humiliating for a lot of people. You know, when you walk into a shop and the shop assistant tells you to go to the men's section, that's a pretty horrendous experience for people. And then, you know, you follow these brands and there's nobody that looks like you. There's nobody that looks even remotely like you kind of represented. Mm. And obviously that's a, you know, the representation issue is a huge thing across a lot of aspects of diversity. It's not just a size issue. I got very excited recently when I saw my first UK brand, like major outdoors brand, having a plus size model. So North Face have just put a plus size model on their feed. I mean, she is wearing like athletic leisure wear, I'd say, rather than technical hiking gear. But I still got really excited because I've not seen that from a single UK outdoors brand, like major one. Full stop, not one photo.
What about the people? And I'm aware, Steph, I don't really know how to phrase this question without sounding rude, basically. But what about the people who say, oh, well, that's because this is equipment and clothing for people who are fit and want to go and do big athletic outdoorsy things, which isn't you, love? Where's the thinking wrong in that statement?
I mean, I'll see them at the top of the mountain and we can talk about it there. I think there's a growing huge evidence base that weight and fitness are not correlated. I mean, I've gone hiking with friends who are a size 8 and I'm fitter than they are. Like, fitness and weight are not intrinsically linked. And I also, you know, say you are unfit. I mean, surely doing exercise and going walking to get fitter is a positive thing. We still need people still need the kit to do that. And excluding people from an entire activity because we don't fit your perception of what an outdoors person should look like is horrendous, really. Like, the outdoors is for everyone. Like, the mountains don't care if you're a size 8 or a size 28. So why do people care?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because it comes back, if actually when you start to peel back the layers, I wonder if for some brands, for some, you know, media outlets, they kind of just go, well, that's not what we our brand wants to look like. And then you go, yeah, but why? And then you get into pretty dark, gnarly stuff pretty quickly, don't you?
And I think it's funny because I feel like the fashion industry has made huge like leaps and bounds forward. I'm not saying they're there. You've got some amazing brands. You've got people like Snag and Molka who make bras who do amazing, like, genuine representation. But even brands like Marks and Spencers and ASOS, like, are using genuine plus size models. But the outdoors movement is stuck in the 1980s where, you know, everybody has to look a certain way. And I don't think brands realise that people are really values driven. I found a piece of research recently that suggested using plus size models actually has a favourable impact on people's view of your brand. Like, if you use more plus size models, you will probably sell more clothes to like the size 8, 10, 12s, as well as to the plus sizes, because people like representation. It's, you know, it's seen as forward thinking. It's seen as kind of with the times. But the outdoors movement is... It's just, I don't know, it kind of astounds me. I mean, America's come a long way, but I think that's because Unlikely Hikers, Jenny Brusso, a few of the other people out there have been doing some really pioneering work and knocking on that door. Yeah, so there's some great companies out there who are doing it well.
How much do you think sizeism is a society-wide issue? And are there sort of, I guess, specific aspects that you see or notice in the outdoors industry, outdoors brands, or people that you meet on the trail, I guess, or in the YHA or at the top of the mountain?
And I think it's definitely, there's a huge amount of judgment. I'm aware of the fact that as a size 20, I get off lightly with it. I can now buy clothing from a fairly wide range of places, which is very different to how it was 10 years ago. But there's a definite society-wide perception about your health and your fitness and judgment. Like, I was talking to one of the people who came on one of the courses I ran, and she was saying that every time she goes to the GP, they weigh her, even if she's going about something else. Like, they, you know, it's... I went to the GP to ask about my eczema and I got offered diet pills. It's the perception that everything in your life is related to the fact that you are, like, in inverted commas, overweight. And it's a very blanket view. And it's interesting because for me in the outdoors, my weight does impact, like, my experience. It's like I feel pressure to not fail at things, because if I fail, I'm not just looking bad, I feel like I'm making plus size people look bad. Like, if I look out of breath going up the hill, I'm worried that people are going to look at me and be like, this is why plus size people shouldn't go hiking. Or if I go bouldering and I can't get up the wall, it's because plus size people can't climb.
So every activity you're doing, you're representing, you're performing the fact that you collectively should be here, should be entitled to be here. And that's, I think that's a big burden.
Yeah, but I think I was talking to a friend who's a plumber, which is a very, like, a female friend who's a plumber, which is a very male-dominated industry, and we were reflecting on that, but that's her experience as a woman in a male-dominated industry, is that she feels like she's representing the entire of, like, female plumbers when she's working. And I think
if she's got the wrong wrench, it's because women are rubbish at plumbing.
Yeah. And I know, you know, some of that thought is in my own head, and I've kind of got to get through that. But there is I face a lot of judgment from people when I'm out hiking. People assume, they look at me and they assume I'm a beginner. They presume I don't know what I'm doing. They presume I'm about to try and climb something, or, you know, a mountain that's way out my ability. People can't hide that, like, kind of look of surprise. and their face is like, oh no, this is one of my favourite walks. I do this all the time. And you get a lot of, I guess, like, faux encouragement, like, you're almost there, you can do this, you got it, you know, well done you. And actually, if that happened once or twice, you might be like, oh, that's nice, that's just people being friendly. But when it happens all of the time, and it doesn't happen to the person who's, like, straight size who you're with,
right. Yes,
it reveals people's
prejudice rather than people's positive
preconceptions and judgment that, you know, that you need this encouragement to do it.
Ooh.
And on multi-day walks is probably where I found the most, like, surprise from people that I'm doing the same route that they're doing.
Do you think it's surprise that's born of the fact that they don't often see people with plus size bodies as well?
Yeah.
Or is it something more pernicious than that?
No, I think it's because sort of they're consuming that same media. And I hold brands and magazines and the media to, like, account for that, because that's what people are consuming. They're scrolling the Instagram feeds of the brands. They're reading those outdoors magazines, and they never see bodies represented. So for the same reason that I didn't think I could do it for such a long time, they don't think I could do it. Mm. And actually, I've had friends who've messaged me saying, thank you so much, I've learned so much from kind of following what you do. Like, I'm kind of humbled, because I genuinely didn't realise that people in larger bodies could do these things. And, you know, like, I'm constantly inspired by some of the people I've kind of met and started following through Everybody Outdoors. Like, some of the climbers are absolutely amazing. And I think climbing is one of those things that I always thought I couldn't do, or at least I couldn't do very well. And so it's really been great for me to kind of be inspired as to what is possible, what's possible in my body, and to push myself still outside that kind of comfort zone that I'm in. So I just think it's really important to diversify what we're consuming, whether that's following some different people on social media, whether that's like challenging brands and magazines to show different shaped and sized bodies. I think it's really important.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, before you said that there's evidence that suggests, research that suggests that people are values driven, consumers are values driven. So they kind of go, oh, you know, this brand actually, you know, practices what it preaches and here's a diverse feed and images. But I guess even if a brand said, oh, we're going to take a hit if we post all these various bodies and abilities and, you know, how people look, maybe that's the kind of the crunchy step in order to actually affect a wider change until we all embrace a kind of more equitable
presentation. I would say that if brands are going to start using kind of plus size bodies, they have a bit of a responsibility to manage that. There was an incident, Fat Lad at the Back, who's, you know, obviously a brand that is a cycling brand that is kind of set up around diversity and different shaped bodies, but some of the...
Wait, that's the name of the brand, Fat Lad?
Yeah,
at the
Fat
Back.
Lad at the Back. So okay, it's a cycling brand that goes up to large sizes and they have a Fat Lass at the back side. But specifically their women's plus size models. There was an incident recently where there was a load of hate put on some of the social media posts, and they managed it, they dealt with it well. And I think that's really important that the brand is kind of on it and shuts that down and moderates that. Because I think it's, but I think it is, I mean, I don't know, I'd question as to whether as a brand I'd want the customers who think that, like, fat and plus size body shouldn't be in the outdoors. And I think, maybe this is also why at the moment we're having more inroads with some of the brands who are kind of quite, I guess, quite values driven in what they're doing already. And they're the ones who seem to be far more open in these conversations.
So let's talk about that for a bit then. What are the major problems that your group has found with outdoor clothing? What's going on here? Bear in mind, we are sponsored by Berghaus, so I'm going to go to them for a comment in a minute and, you know, lay it out.
So the biggest problem is that most clothes are graded up from a size 8 or like a small size, and they're just...
Okay,
so
explain what that means.
That means that you design the clothing for a certain size and then you just add inches or whatever measurements to different parts of the clothes.
Okay.
But those errors, by the time you get to a size 20, can be quite large. And also body shape changes. So there's quite a lot of research that shows, like, your hip to bust ratio changes. And also, like, as somebody who has a belly, like, my trouser fit is going to need to be different to that of someone who's a size 8. Like, I need my trousers to have a higher rise because it has to come over my belly. If I'm going to be hiking all day, like, I can't have trousers that, like, sit on my hips and fall down. So I think so many problems are things that don't fit, aren't big enough around the hips, aren't accounting for, like, plus size body shape, so larger kind of belly, hip, bum, and trouser rise. But then you find that you get weirdly baggy legs often because they've decided that, you know, they've just graded up the width of your calves. So I had a pair of, like, waterproof trousers that I swear were like a pair of flares. They were so baggy that every time I walked, like, they've kind of flapped against each other.
Well, because they've added two extra inches on the waist, they've added 2 extra inches to the calf as well.
Pretty much.
Amazing.
So I think it's just that, you know, they've made clothes in a size 20, but they haven't looked at size 20 bodies is a major issue. Also, a huge amount of outdoors brands fit small. So I am a size 20 in pretty much everything I wear. And then I get to, like, outdoors clothing and a huge amount of brands, including I can't fit into a Berghaus size 20. I would say a Berghaus size 20 is a size 18, actually. And right, they're not generally roomy enough on the hips and the bums, and the trousers are too low rise. I mean, it's pretty standard across most brands because they haven't...
Is that a vanity sizing thing? That on some, like you were saying, you know, back in the 1980s, that a lady choosing an item of clothing from a peg would go, oh, I fit into a 10 or a 12 or a whatever. And actually, you don't. It's just they've sized up a bit.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's a huge amount of laziness or not bothering to do the work. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that brands are, you know, up against it in many ways, but actually, you know, all you're doing is producing clothing that doesn't fit. So even like someone like Mountain Warehouse, who go up to a size 28, that like, so at the moment, clothing wise in a plus size, up to a size 18, you can get kind of, in inverted commas, technical gear. Size 20, a few in 22, you can get kind of like entry level. I can go outdoors and buy some of their own brand stuff. Above a size 22, you are basically Mountain Warehouse or nothing. But Mountain Right. Warehouse clothing is a terrible fit. Like, for a brand that makes so much plus size clothing, a lot of it is just the wrong shape. I mean, I've walked for years in a horrendous shaped kind of coat because that's all I could get. For the first time in my life, I've just got a technical waterproof that fits. And it, I don't think I'd realised how much stress having a not very waterproof bad coat had on me. Like, it didn't stop me doing anything, but it meant I always had to carry spare clothes.
Because
you'd get wet. I get wet. And, you know, then, especially for camping, you're carrying, like, spare clothes. And to go out for the day and be like, I know I'm staying dry all day is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that I guess most people who are committed to walking take for granted, unless it's really pouring it down.
Yeah.
Wow. That has an impact, doesn't it, on what objectives you might be safe to take on as well. Because if you go, actually, the weather's terrible, I don't have the kit that can keep me safe in these conditions and get me down after 12 hours or whatever. Being sensible and responsible outdoors person means that you therefore wouldn't take on the objective and you change your plans, which in itself is terrible.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I've probably done a lot more hill walking than mountain walking, is because I haven't felt comfortable that I'm going to stay dry if the weather changes. Like, I've done bits, but it's always been quite fair weather based or shorter walks. Like, I haven't gone out for like the full day or gone somewhere really remote because I can't trust that if something goes wrong, I'm going to stay dry because my coat soaks through after an hour, you know. And
oh man.
But that's the reality that so many people are living with. Like, we jokingly did like hashtag badly fitting waterproof week, where we got people to share their photographs of their terribly fitting waterproofs, you know. And it's like men's waterproofs, like, you know, outdoors brands, horrendously fitting waterproofs that don't, just, you know, people have to have the bottom undone perpetually
so it fits over your hips. I mean, I'm a size 16, Steph, and I struggle to get stuff that goes over my bum, and I do have that kind of thing, thinking, I'm not, in the grand scheme of big, I'm not big. What, who is this, who are these people that it's designed for, apart from those kind of very kind of straight up and down athletic figures? I mean, that I guess, like you say, you see in the pictures, but you don't necessarily see on the street around you, because
it's designed for a size 8 and then just scaled sideways. And not, you know, it just doesn't account for body shape. But it is also, I think, you know, most outdoors clothing is designed for a specific shape of woman as well. And not, the thing is, I think we could agree that in women's clothing, like, one thing is not going to fit everybody. There's so much diversity in wear, like, body shape. Like, I'm just waiting for one brand to start doing a curvy range. And that can be like, you know, you can be a curvy size 12 who's kind of quite a pear shape. Like, I know people who have to like take in their size 12 trousers because there's not a, like, the waist to hip ratio doesn't work for them.
Mm. Yeah, because there are sort of high street, you know, everyday streetwear retailers that specially focus on the curve, you know, smaller waist, bigger hips, you know, like you say, where you carry your weight. Is it because brands feel like there's too much diversity of body shape, you know, we're not gonna please everyone, so we're just gonna do the bare minimum, because what fits Steph isn't gonna fit someone else in the group, isn't gonna fit, you know, this third person who has a bigger tummy but a narrow hips or what have you?
I don't even think there's that much thought into it. I think I think there's a preconception from brands that they probably won't sell very much stuff, but I think you know what I will say.
How big is the market? I mean, is there demand if it were there, do you think?
I mean, we hit 1,000 Instagram followers on our first day of launching, everybody outdoors. I think there is a huge market, and it's not just the market of people like me who are already doing these things and struggling without the right kit. There's a huge market of people who didn't go on that hike because when they went to try and get a waterproof, they couldn't find one that fitted. There's a huge market of people who would love to give climbing a go but are too scared to go to the climbing gym. There's a huge market of people who'd love to try, you know, paddleboarding, but they're worried that the personal flotation device won't fit. You know, there's a massive untapped market. It's like, I genuinely think it's like, if you build it, they will come. Mm. I think people underestimate what that market is. I mean, if you look at what's kind of currently available, so a quarter of women in the UK are size 18 or above. And I had a look on the Cotswold Outdoor website, and they had the same number of clothes available in a size 4 as they do in a size 18. and I'm pretty sure that less.
I don't know many people who are size 4. No.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's so underserved. And I know that, you know, women's clothing in the outdoors is, it, a lot of people struggle with it, but plus size people are hugely disproportionately affected. Like, if you cannot stay safe, if you cannot get a climbing harness that fits, if you can't get a waterproof to keep you dry, you know, these are real issues of safety. And I think, you know, there's a huge potential for people to be inspired about what's possible.
Yeah, preach. That's what Finding Our Way is about. Absolutely. Okay, so as well as actually talking to people with plus-sized bodies and doing the fit research, what other fixes could make clothing and gear more accessible?
So better size charts on brands' websites is a really, really huge thing. So most plus-sized people have to shop online because shops don't stock it. So even some of the, like, the retailers who do larger sizes, you can't buy them in the shops. So, you know, like, I buy most of my normal clothes online. So size charts are really key, and accurate size charts. And I was having a look at some people. So, like, you know, Patagonia's charts for their coat has a chest measurement but not a hip measurement. It's like, well, how am I supposed to decide if that's going to fit me or not if you don't give me the relevant measurement?
Right, okay, so you've got that table and it's kind of got the different sizes, yeah, and some of the measure. So if you had more of the actual figures, so yeah, how it fits across the bust, the waist, the hips,
yeah, so there's missing measurements,
the trousers, the calves or something, yeah, like that, yeah, right.
And some places don't have the plus size, so there's Go Outdoors, a lot of them don't have the size 18 or 20 or 22 measurements on the size charts. The size charts end at a 16 or an 18. So there isn't a size chart at all.
So you don't exist. That's
and then
insane.
There's a huge issue of inaccuracy in size charts because, you know, there's a lot of ease built into clothes. And sometimes, you know, like one of my colleagues, Emily, she fits between two sizes. And if she had some information about how much ease is kind of built in, she would know which sizes she needed to fit it. You know, does she need to size up so it fits around her hips, or can she kind of go for the small for her bust measurement, because knowing that the coat's got a bit of give in it.
I guess that would make sense in the kind of the life cycle of running a retail organization. That actually serves the brand or the shop better as well, because they're, yeah, not getting people returning products that, you know, aren't saleable while they're, yeah, being posted to someone and then being returned and all that extra cost and expense and palaver.
I mean, trying to buy a pair of outdoor shorts, I think I bought 5 different pairs and had to return 4 of them, and that's right, just quite normal. That's like my life, is studying size charts, googling to see if I can find a picture of a size plus size person wearing it. And that's the other thing that's really good, is having different size models, because, mm, you know, I don't want to see that piece of clothing on a size 8 body because I don't know what it's going to look like on mine. Like, I want to know how it's going to sit on my, around my tummy. I know, you know, what that's going to look like, how baggy the legs are, for example. It would be really useful. I mean, maybe if they put them on some plus size models, they'd realize that the legs are too baggy and the trousers don't come high enough.
Maybe they did do those photographs and went, guys, we can't put this out into the public domain. It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, wow, there's one kind of smaller brand, I think it's Dark Peak Gear, I think, who do like down jackets, and they have a load of different models wearing their jackets, and it says the model's height, it says the model's weight, it says, you know, like some really helpful things. I mean, they don't fit me, it still doesn't go up to my size, but as a good one of the better examples, that's the kind of thing that is useful.
Yeah. You have had some recent wins with brands. Tell us about your work with Alpkit.
So we started chatting to Alpkit. In fact, they got in touch the first day that we launched back in February. And I think what's been really great about Alpkit is they're really committed to this work. So they've kind of invested in their fit team some knowledge about plus size fitting specifically. And they've just listened. Like, they've really listened to us about what doesn't work in plus size outdoors clothing. So as a result, they've actually changed some of the aspects of their clothing. So their trousers are all a higher rise. I think they've slightly increased the sizing as well, between sizes, if that makes sense. And then two of us went up for a fitting session and tried on samples, and kind of we took along any other kit we had, and we spent the whole day there trying on the clothes that they got, working out what needed to be changing, working out what worked well. And the two of us who went up are quite different shapes within the size 20 as well. So it was really useful to see. And it's like, okay, that fits, that fits Cumbie better than it fits me. And that's okay, mm-hmm. because this fits me better than it fits her. You know, yeah. realizing it doesn't have to fit everybody brilliantly. You know, not every item in Alpkit's new size 20 range is going to fit me perfectly, but that's okay because some of it will. So they're actually bringing out the entire of their range in a size 20. Wow. And we're also working with them to make sure their kit side of things, so things like rucksacks, sleeping bags, kind of is proportionally going to work for larger bodies as well.
Yes, sleeping bags.
Oh my goodness. And the thing is,
if
you can't get a lightweight technical sleeping bag that fits you, it means you can't wild camp.
You're so right. You'd have to get one of those really rubbish, massive, cold ones from Argos, which is basically for kids going on like brownie camp.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, TGO challenge, is it?
But I think
You're blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's so far-reaching. It's like, it's not just that. It's like climbing harnesses. It's PFD. It's like it reaches into so much stuff. Mm. You know, but I think the thing with Alpkit is that they have a really good understanding that like size 20 isn't inclusive. Like that's not their end goal. They're like on a journey, and we're kind of going with them on that journey. And for me, they're the brand who has been most open, who has listened, who like want us to speak to their store staff about experiences of plus size people shopping, so that they know how to welcome people into the shops. You know, they want to talk about representation and that kind of stuff. So it's been a really, really positive kind of experience that. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where that goes, really.
I looked at their Instagram this morning, though, and it is quite a straight-sized visual representation. I had a moment where I was like, oh, they're brilliant. Oh, hang on a minute.
We are working on that.
Okay,
I think it's something that they're aware that we are like, have a lot of opinions on. And yeah, so I hope that is really going to change in the next 6 months. Because I think also like the plus size market, you know, it's there, but plus size people don't particularly do well with tokenistic work. You know, it gets called out. But I've talked to lots of different teams within Alpkit, and I feel like it's a really embedded change. And it's not just like, oh, we're going to, you know, make some coats and put them on the website. You know, it's something they're really committed to and want to see, and they're kind of quite vocal about. They wrote a really great blog recently that's up on their website, kind of all about their approach and what they've learned. Yeah.
That's cool. We shall include a link in our episode show notes, folks, if you want to follow up on that. But through Everybody Outdoors, you started organising mountain skills courses exclusively for plus size folk. Tell me about that. What made you set that up?
So weirdly, it's actually something that preceded me actually setting up at Everybody Outdoors. I think because I'd wanted to do a navigation course, and then I got super anxious myself about the idea of going on a course with a lot of people and being really worried about being kind of left behind on the pace and being self-conscious about my body. And then I met a mountain leader called Kat, who runs Latitude 534, based out of Snowdonia. And she does loads of work with groups that are underrepresented in the outdoors. And so just instantly had a really good understanding of what I was talking about and my experiences. And so we decided to put on a couple of courses. So in March, we ran two courses specifically for plus size people. So a 2-day introduction to mountain skills, covering kind of kit and gear, some basic navigation, safety, you know, the basic 2-day course. And it was pretty amazing, if I'm honest. There were so many people who said that, you know, they wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been for this course, if it hadn't been a safe space. For them to kind of come and learn. And it also meant that we were able to tailor parts of the course. So we were able to tailor the whole clothing and kit conversation beyond the, here are all the wonderfully technical things that you should have in your bag, to here is what you kind of might want to aim for, but equally you can just have this, or maybe we could do that. And I was able to share my experiences of, after all the years of searching, the few things I have found that do work or that do fit. We had a little bit of a clothing bring and share where people brought things along. And so, you know, that was really great. And I think, you know, we set the pace. I think a lot of people thought that we were just going to be, you know, going up some small little tiny hills. But actually, when we were in the Lake District, you know, we weren't quite high. And I think a lot of people wouldn't have felt comfortable doing that in another group because they would have been worried about the pace, worried about having to stop. Worried about not having the right clothing and being stared at. But actually, in a group of 10 people, it was an amazing experience.
How much is it about finding that sense of community, of sort of kindred spirits?
It's huge. And I think that's the thing about Everybody Outdoors that, like, maybe we hadn't quite considered. Like, when we started it, we were like, it's about working with brands, it's about representation. And actually, one of the things that I've got most out of is the community. Like, I'm still in touch with most of the people who came on the courses. In fact, there's a bunch of people going camping together later this year. And I think until I started doing this, I didn't have any plus size outdoorsy friends. And I don't think I realised what I'd been missing, because, you know, it is a part of my life and my experience, and just having people I can kind of share that with and not have to explain with. Like, to be able to meet up with a bunch of strangers and not feel self-conscious about my body. To be able to be on a hilltop eating Welsh cakes and not feel judged that people are going to think that I'm fat because I'm eating Welsh cakes. which is, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with. It's like feeling like they can't eat because people will make judgments about what they're eating. But yeah, just not feeling at all self-conscious about my body or about the speed that we're walking at. And it just being able to share really openly experiences, like the experiences we've had, and some really heartfelt conversations and honest sharing kind of went on. And I've started meeting up with some people in South Wales kind of every couple of months to do a walk together, partly because I realize that I've got the confidence and experience now. Like, I've done a lot of walking on my own, I've got good navigation, I can plan a route, but not everyone has that. And I think that gateway entrance in is a real barrier.
That's one of the things that I've discovered about my own personal experiences in the hills as well, that in daily life, I think being a female body, often your body is about how it looks, whereas in the hills it's about what it's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's really liberating, I think. It doesn't matter how it looks, it's where it takes you, it's what you are enabled to do by the fact that your muscles are working, that your body is working hard, that you're strong, or, you know, not strong but working hard on it, or whatever it is. Yeah,
I mean, the outdoors has made me fall in love with my body, I guess, in a way. Like, I struggled for years with how I looked in my body, and I think it's shown me, instead of focusing on what my body can't do or what it isn't, it's shown me what it is and how strong it can be and where it can take me. It's like, I've done some amazing things, you know, I've wild camped and hiked for 2 weeks on my own in Norway. And it's like, that's amazing. My body carried me like 160 miles across Norwegian hills, carrying a pack on my own. And that's like a marvel to me. And I love the fact that when I'm outdoors, it's not, and, you know, I'm exercising, but it's not about losing weight. It's about becoming stronger and feeling my body becoming stronger and that's been a real positive for me, definitely.
Amazing. How much do you think the experience of setting up Everybody Outdoors, of finding that community, how much has it changed how you see the role of spending time outdoors, or perhaps your focus for hiking and hill walking?
I think, you know, like I love walking on my own and I'm going to carry on doing that. But I think historically I'm quite picky about who I go walking with. If anyone has a hint of summit fever, it's like, it's a hard no. Like I walk up a hill with somebody I feel comfortable with. So I have a small group of friends who I'll walk, and I walk a lot, like one-on-one with people. And I've always shied away from groups. And I think Everybody Outdoors has shown me that I actually have a real longing for that community, that going with a group can be a really amazing thing and a really important space, and a really nice space for me to be able to share some of the stuff I learn and to learn from others. You know, like I it's made me want to try climbing. You know, I've been once to a bouldering gym and it was a pretty traumatic experience because I think there was some kind of competition going on, so there were lots of like topless men swinging around on one arm. And I was genuinely the only person above a size 12 in that bouldering gym, and I felt so self-conscious the whole time. But actually, the idea of potentially meeting up with some people who are also plus size to go climbing with some in that group who have quite a lot of experience, like, is a really amazing idea for me, and an opportunity to try something that I wouldn't otherwise give a go. I believe in life you have kind of lots of different tribes, but you know, I found a tribe I didn't know that I was missing in many ways, yeah. And found a community I didn't know I was missing, and made some great friends through it. So yeah,
amen to that. What's next for you personally and for Everybody Outdoors?
So I'm doing two more mountain skills courses. Well, one mountain skills course and an advanced navigation course this autumn again. And Everybody Outdoors, we are just, I guess a lot of it is continuing the work we're doing. So kind of reaching out to brands, trying to get them to include us in their conversations and their work. Like, we are always up for those conversations and really pushing for that representation, especially with the brands we're already working with, like Alpkit. I mean, in the long term, we'd really love to kind of help facilitate that community a bit more. I mean, it's a small group of five people who are all kind of juggling jobs and stuff alongside it. So I think, in the long term, that's something we'd really like to look at, how we can do that, how we can kind of encourage that in a responsible way. But just more of the same, more just trying to get the word out there and spread the word and challenge people's preconceptions about plus size bodies in the outdoors.
Yeah. I'm going to take it back to BMC Towers as well and have a few words, because I think I would imagine that the BMC media output is just as bad as everyone else's. It's one of the aspects of inclusivity that I think probably has been overlooked up till now.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it's been really great actually to engage in the kind of wider inclusivity movement. Like, I've been part of All the Elements, and that's been really great to hear about all the work that other people are doing, and kind of, you know, realize the breadth of the problem, I guess. Mm. And work out how we can support each other through that community, I guess, and, you know, help with the brands we're working with make sure we're also raising other issues.
Amazing. We're going to finish off with our quick fire questions. These are 10 questions we ask our guests on Finding Our Way. Steph Wetherill, are you ready?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm ready.
Describe yourself in three words.
Enthusiastic, organised, laughs.
Favourite mountain snack?
A flapjack.
Best mountain memory?
Probably, that's a really difficult one. Probably actually in the Lake District. I can't remember which hill we climbed, but being at the top of a pretty big hill with like 9 plus size women with joyful looks on their faces.
Bucket list destination?
The Lofoten Islands in Norway.
How often do you get lost?
Ask my friends. And not super lost. I usually realise quite quickly.
Nice. If you could go for a walk with someone famous or, you know, otherwise, who would it be?
Jenny Brusso from Unlikely Hikers.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
An owl.
Oh, nice. Why?
I don't know why. I like owls.
That's as good a reason as any. One thing you always carry on the hill?
Extra water, because I get really thirsty.
What does walking mean to you?
Headspace, joy, just time away, I guess.
And lastly, if we want more of you, where do we go?
Our Instagram handle is @every_body_outdoors. And we also have a website of everybodyoutdoors.co.uk, which is pretty sparse at the moment, but we are working on it. And if you are plus size and want to join the Facebook group, just search for Everybody Outdoors on all separate words on Facebook.
Perfect. Brilliant. And folks, if you want any of those links, we will have them all in our show notes and in the transcript. So head over to the BMC website and you'll be able to download all of that and access it. Thank you so much, Steph, and I wish you the best of luck with Everybody Outdoors.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Share the podcast with your friends and let us know, please, what you think. Use @TeamBMC on Instagram and Twitter and the hashtag #FindingOurWay. Well, I took some of Steph's points to Berghaus, our esteemed sponsors. I spoke to Katie McNamara, brand manager at Berghaus, and Fiona Taylor, the head of design. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Katie, and I am a brand manager here at Berghaus.
Hi, and I'm Fiona. I'm the head of design at Berghaus.
So, Katie, Fiona, you're the kind of the brains behind the operation at Berghaus. I mean, I'm sure that you've got lots of other people in your team, but tell me, Finding Our Way is all about diversity, inclusion, broadening the reach for the outdoors and indoor climbing to all people, everybody. How does Berghaus see their role in championing that cause?
This brand was born out of a love of nature. And since its beginnings, way back in the mid-60s, Berghaus has been fueled by a passion to get more and more people outdoors. And I think that passion is as strong today as it was way back then, and helping everybody to access outside and outdoor spaces, you know, whatever their age, shape, background, ability or gender, is something that myself, Fiona, and the whole team that you can't see or hear here today feel super, super passionate about.
It's tricky though, isn't it? Because all your technical clothes do stop at a size of 18, and it's quite a small. I mean, I wear your size 18 when I'm wearing Berghaus clothes, and I'm not skinny, but I'm not big. I wouldn't call myself plus size necessarily. So it's kind of limiting, isn't it?
Well, I think from a product perspective, one of the things, I guess, historically with the outdoor world is that it's been distribution-wise quite tight. So it's been quite difficult to broaden and diversify in terms of size ranges because of where distribution's been in the past. And that makes it also challenging when it comes to building bigger size breadth into your line.
When you say a distribution thing, do you mean like the stock that a shop would carry in their actual shop? Is that the issue?
So sometimes when the customers place their order, for example, they will specify what sizes they're going to buy in. So they will say, right, we want if it's numerical sizing, say we're talking about sizing that goes from a size 8 to a size 18, they will say, right, we'll take 10 size 8s, 20 size 10s, 20 size 12s, 10 14s, 10 16s, 10 18s. So they'll specify by product how many how many sizes and what quantities of those sizes. So in some cases, we can't necessarily control what the customer buys into. So they'll buy what they feel is appropriate for their consumer. And I think that that's something that is slowly starting to change in the outdoor market. I think that when you go into some of the brands that have a much wider distribution, particularly when you talk to more, say, if we talk about the sportswear brands in that cover different women's needs, you'll find that they often have a broader breadth of sizing versus what outdoor do.
Why do you think that is, Fiona? I mean, it just seems like you guys collectively, the outdoor clothing industry, are really behind the curve with this one. What's going on?
When you get into specialist outdoor gear, it just becomes less broad in terms of its distribution. And it's something more historic, I would say. So, but in the world that we live in now, coming out of the past couple of years of big shifts in the outdoor market, and also big shifts in terms of visibility of outdoor brands in the distribution, that is definitely starting to make those changes and start to move. Historically, and not just within the outdoor world, but then in the sport world as well, I guess there's been such a big focus on extreme sports being all about action, being a very sharp point of view, that as more women are coming into the market and coming more into different kinds of outdoor pursuits and actually introducing different kinds of outdoor pursuits into the outdoor world, it's kind of blowing up the whole thing. And that's something that that I think is an amazing opportunity for everybody. And it's something that Berghaus has definitely stood up, taken note of, and digging deep into. And it's, you know, and I think that certainly from my perspective as a creative, we welcome as much feedback as possible, mm-hmm. and being able to contribute and collaborate with people. So that's something that we're really super open to and really interested in having more of those kind of discussions.
Katie, what are your thoughts? I mean, Steph, in her interview, said, you know, 25%, give or take, of the UK population of women are size 18 or over. So at the moment, that you know, chances are many of them can't shop at Berghaus, even if they wanted to, even if they thought you guys were like the best thing since sliced bread. They're not going to wear any of those other things. They can't. It's really, don't you want their money?
More than anything, we want as many women as possible in all shapes and sizes to be out there and enjoying and experiencing the benefits of being out in nature. And that's a collective vision and a collective ambition and a work stream that is very much in progress. So what's really interesting is Fiona talking about some of the changes that we are really, really pleased to be able to affect. So Steph talked, you know, so passionately and from her lived experience about some of those challenges around things like product fit. And, you know, that is a very real example of something that we are working on and something that we are able to affect. So, you know, there's been a bunch of people behind the scenes working away on answering, I guess, the issue that Steph highlighted around things like grading and the fact that as you start to move up the size range. So our range currently in a number of styles ranges up to size 20. You know, we've been working on adjusting the fit so that, you know, the product feels better, the fit is much better. And that's a brilliant thing, and it's a brilliant move on for us. Obviously, we'd love to be able to, you know, bring those changes to bear quicker, i.e. we like them to be existing now, but they're a work in progress and the alternative is far worse. So I feel really proud about that, and I know that the team behind the scenes feels really proud about that too.
What sort of time scale are you working on then to get those changes to, you know, if I walk into a shop or buy something on the Burger House website, when will I see that change as a consumer?
So those changes are actions now, but what that means in terms of when the consumer will start to be able to feel the difference when they put on a Burger House product is spring, summer 24. So we go into spring, summer 23 at the turn of the year, and it'll be the season that follows that we'll have adjusted the grading of fit on our outerwear products, which is really, really positive news. There's a way bigger ambition and way further scope for us to take our work in that space. You know, we recognise that women's bodies are different at every size, at every life stage. And, you know, as part of the changes that Fiona mentioned earlier, we are working really, really hard to better understand that and better get under the skin of that and think about, you know, not just how we better equip women with plus size clothing, but how we better equip women across the board, you know, all life stages, all body shapes, all body sizes. But it takes time and it can be frustrating because we'd love to be able to influence these things and have them here today for consumers to engage with. But the important thing is that it's work in progress and that we are learning quick, learning fast, learning lots from the lived experience of other people, just like Steph, to make sure that we can become a brand that women are super glad exists.
What do you think Burger House's role is in terms of that sort of experience as a customer walking into a shop or trying to buy online, and that thing where they go, there's nothing that's going to fit you in the women's range. You're going to have to go to the men's, or no, there's nothing in the three floors of this really top end outdoors place that is going to fit you. Sorry, you'll have to, you know, go outdoors or Mountain Warehouse or hope for the best that it doesn't rain. What role does Burger House see in working with actual retailers in terms of making that whole experience better for plus size people?
The team internally have been working into building broader across size ranges. We've equally been speaking face-to-face with customers, basically being able to speak more to the actual breadth of the fit and the adjustment in terms of what we're doing to accommodate fit and flexibility around fit. So that comes not just in terms of grading product up, but in terms of the fabrics that are used, and in terms of the construction of certain things. So, for example, adjustability through waistband, it not just being an elasticated waistband, for example, to try and accommodate a breadth of fit, but around kind of tailoring the construction and the detailing and making sure that the adjustability is fit for purpose. We've got a few projects that are ongoing at the moment that are specifically focused on that in terms of, right, what is the exact detail that we need that's going to change the entire experience for that female consumer. And it actually doesn't matter whether you're a size 10 or a size 18. We want to be able to build that, I guess it's that finesse and that craftsmanship into the product. And that's all of the work that's been going on. As Casey said about SS24, we already started the work there. And then we've got actually two or three ongoing specific projects that focus on fit, on feel and experience for the female consumer at the moment.
I mean, Fiona, you're absolutely right. I was describing my conversation with Steph, with a friend who's outdoorsy. She's a size 12, but she's got wide hips and a slim waist. And she was like, That's exactly my experience. It's, I mean, because women's bodies are very, you know, wonderful and varied. she can't get jackets that comfortably fit over her hips, that aren't massively baggy on her shoulders and her waist. And so she was saying, how is it that it feels like whichever brand you pick up, they're all designed for this sort of like semi-mythical woman who is, you know, 5'10", a size 10, athletic, slim, quite slim hipped, doesn't have big boobs, definitely not. I mean, speaking as someone with big boobs, whoa. How is it that, would you see a kind of a vision where different lines in the Berghaus outdoor wear offer different shapes of fit? So there are some where it's still technical, it's still going to see through a whole day in the Scottish Hills, it's not kind of your everyday high street vibe, but there are some where it is tailored for someone who's more straight up and down and someone who's more curvy.
We're sitting down having these conversations with a multitude of different kinds of consumers. So the ones that are the ones that are top of the mountain, but we're also talking to, you know, the consumer that, you know, just wants a really good jacket to be able to walk the dog in at the weekend, or a great pant to be able to do a cross-section of activities. We really need to look at building flexibility into a fit, like what I mentioned around adjustability, for example, around a waistband or something like that. We recognise also that it's about using the right materials in the right ways, and being able to really concept and pattern cut in a much closer way. So we're working with different tools internally. We work with pattern cutters, we work with 3D design, and we can really kind of obsess how that product is built, so that we are looking at where the sort of where the stress points are, how does that impact if you have a material that has a mechanical stretch by it's the construction of the material versus a built-in stretch using an elastane, for example. So how can we utilize different materials in different ways to come to those solutions? And I think it's one of the things that you know, the athletic sports world has been so good at historically, you know, which is why you see people in leggings versus in, you know, in a true outdoor pant. But as we evolve what we're doing at the moment, we've actually got these projects that are running with specialists effectively in terms of construction and in terms of 3D ideation, where we can really go into that level of detail and then go back to the consumer and talk to them about it.
And does that include increasing the actual size range as well? So some of the Berghaus technical stuff that isn't the high street stuff is going to be available in a size bigger than a size 18.
Yeah, so we have a size offer that's 18 to 20 already, and across quite a few of the core products. So it is available in certain products, but obviously we also need to really pay attention to what the consumer's buying into, so that we can address more directly to specific products. And that's some of the work that we're doing at the moment as well. So being able to say, right, so what product are we seeing that they're buying into?
But you can't buy it if you don't make it. So Steph can't buy, and many of the other people in Everybody Outdoors simply can't, you can't kind of judge what they want to buy based on what they are buying now, because they literally can't buy your clothes.
So yes and no, I would say. So
unless they buy two and sew it together themselves.
Well, that would be an interesting outcome, wouldn't it? No, I mean, I think that there's, I totally understand that perspective and what Steph's feedback is on that. We already do 18 to 20. It's just being able to build out visibility of that product and directing the consumer to the right place as well. But this is definitely going to be a lot more visible over the coming 12 months, I would say.
Katie, how much of a priority is it that someone like Steph, someone from Everybody Outdoors, who might be, say, a size 24, they're going, okay, great, spring, summer 24, that's going to sort out some people and get round, you know, a big bum, but it's not going to get round my bum. When is Steph or another member of Everybody Outdoors going to be able to go on a navigation course in the Lake District wearing a Berghaus pair of walking trousers and jacket?
It's a good question, and it's a question that I wish I would be able to put a time frame around. Hopefully what's clear is that this is massively on the radar of the brand. Ensuring that everybody has access to nature is our MO, it's our guiding light. Plus size clothing is one of many of the conversations and the projects that we've got happening at the moment that look at how, for example, we better serve women. There are so many things that we need to consider, which are about, you know, the right products, the right materials, the right fit, the right construction, the right distribution, the right partners. And that stuff takes time. And I'd love to be able to sit here today and say, you know, February 2024, but that would be a disservice to Steph because we've still got so much learning to do and so much that we want to move forward to do this well and to make sure that it's a success. I don't have a hard and fast date, but we do have a team that is working on it and looking at how we implement change to make sure that more women like Steph can get outdoors more often.
You could take a sort of top of the range jacket that you have in production now and commission samples of size 22, 24, 26 and send them off with Everybody Outdoors and go, all right, test this to destruction or try it on in the showroom or, you know, come up to the factory and tell us what works with this. How are the arms? How's the neck? Does it fit over your bum? Does it feel like the pockets are in the right place? You know, all the stuff that you guys do day in, day out. But you could just, you know, throw some money at this and make some actual jackets out of the same materials, can you?
It's not just a case of making it bigger. We also have to create new patterns and a new way of grading and making sure that we have the right people to work with, both internally and externally, to get this to the right people. So it's a process. Because we're coming from new exploration, we also want to make sure that we do this in exactly the right way. And that does take time. And it does take this feedback loop where we go back to the consumers.
Better inputs will equal better outputs when it comes to product testing and that feedback loop. So the more care and craft and attention that we can put into our thinking, well, listening, and then our thinking and then our development will help the overall output and end product.
You've still got to make them bigger, though, don't you? I mean, bottom line, however great they are, if they don't fit, then you can't buy it. But let's move on. So Steph described a couple of, to me, it sounded like quite easy wins, like having extra size measurements on size charts, making sure that size charts actually cover the whole range of the garments that are provided, things like hip measurements for jackets rather than just chest. And of course, measurements that are actually a measurement of the garment rather than what Berghaus says the body that should be wearing the garment is. Because then if you're between sizes, you can actually go, OK, well, that's going to work for me. That's not going to work for me. Those are also as well, obviously, pictures of people wearing the garment that aren't just perhaps the size 10 model that you're using. They seem like pretty easy wins that you could kind of change overnight, give or take a few nights perhaps. Are they things that we're going to see a change in Berghaus if I go onto the Berghaus website in a couple of months time?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually already started using plus size models in a lot of our photography. So that's I guess in historically it's been fairly limited in terms of where we've used it, but we're using it more and more at the moment. So going into the photography, we're actually broadening the range of sizing of the models that we're using as well. So it's actually being communicated directly out to the consumer through visuals that way.
And what about size charts? What about the additional measurements on the charts that you've got online so that I could work out whether I want a size 16 jacket or a size 18 jacket, whether it's going to be super baggy on my waist or kind of reasonable?
Well, those are things that I guess historically haven't been shared out, because some are actual kind of IP almost in a way. So with some of our engineering of our products, we don't like to publish all of that outwardly. But it's definitely something as we're building the size charts going into autumn winter 23, then we're addressing looking at all of that kind of proposition anyway. So we're looking across a range of tools that we can communicate out to.
Oh, that's brilliant, though. I mean, if autumn winter 2023, I can look and see on a jacket and say, okay, well, these are the measurements that a size 16 would fit, or a size 18 or a size 20. Then, I mean, surely good for me, because I don't need to buy three different jackets, try them all on and then send two back. And good for you, because you kind of not producing stock that's getting, you know, circulated around the postal system rather than being sold and worn.
Yeah. As we build out from a sizing perspective, looking at the different products that we do and how we address the needs of the consumer, whether it's the size 8 consumer or the size 20 consumer, that we'll be increasing that information as we build season on season, because it's, as I mentioned, it's all part of that feedback loop. Getting consumer feedback, which is great, and being able to implement that.
Okay, so let's just finish off. Katie, or perhaps Fiona, what would your message be to the members of Everybody Outdoors? Because they shouldn't put in their calendars when they should be going onto the Berghaus website to try on their new size 24 Berghaus jacket, can they? You can't put a date on that. What would you say to them about what Berghaus represents and what your part in their journey in the outdoors is?
I think, first off, you know, a big thank you to Steph. She is really, she's doing an unbelievable job of creating safe spaces for women of, you know, regardless of shape and size, to get outdoors. And I admire her work, and B, learn a lot from listening to your conversation. So, you know, that feels important that Steph's work is recognised, and that her community that she's created is massively celebrated. We've spoken to Steph aside from this specific conversation, and she's helping us with a project that's really going to help understand the broader cultural barriers that are in place for all women. And my hope for anyone listening to this podcast, anybody that belongs to Steph's community, anybody any woman that wants to get outdoors, understands that we have an appetite to make sure that more and more women are getting out into nature, and there is a team with an ambitious work stream that's looking at the right places for us to affect change, the right time for us to affect change, and the biggest opportunities for us to go after to make sure that change is as wide-reaching as possible. And so I hope that anybody listening feels heard and understands that there's a team behind the scenes that are beavering away on making this stuff happen.
Katie McNamara, Fiona Taylor from Berghaus, thank you very much for your time.
Let's keep this conversation going on social. Tag team BMC and Everybody Outdoors. And if you want to be an ally and help push for real change, here are four things you can do. Number one, diversify your feeds. Find and follow communities and individuals who are already shouting about these issues. Amplify their messages, give them oxygen. Number two, make sure you're raising your voice for all bodies in the outdoors. Speak up when you see or hear bad behaviour, online or in person. Number three, call out the brands you wear or that you want to wear that aren't size inclusive. Vote with your feet. If a brand isn't representing values that are important to you, maybe they don't deserve your money. If they're doing something, are they doing enough? Tell them what you think. And number four, tell the magazines and feeds that you like what you want to see and celebrate. This is the last episode of Finding Our Way in this run. But if you've missed a few, head back to season one and find interviews there that explore, amongst other things, young people in the outdoors, black joy and hiking, chronic illness and climbing films, gay men and community health on expeditions, and some high altitude ambition. Finding Our Way is brought to you by the British Mountaineering Council and it's supported by Berghaus. This episode was hosted by me, Marianne O'Hotter, and edited and mixed by Chris Stone.